Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas, Eric Nelson, here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And I don't even know what day of the week it is. Wednesday? It's your Miracoles with the Muchachos. But I am a bit out of stride because I've been away for the past month. I just got back to the station doing work last week, kind of taking it easy, but this is the first time I've been back in the hosting chair for really the past 4 weeks, I think, because my mother unexpectedly passed about a month ago, and it was a total surprise. There was nothing to indicate that anything was out of the ordinary or that there was any sort of risk that her life was any sign that it was near ending. There was nothing. So it was a total surprise and shock, and it's been really difficult for me. Eric actually came by that night, late at night, after I had found her at home, and really everyone has been extremely supportive, and I really appreciate that. Everyone here at AM 950, listeners, everyone has been really great, and I'm really grateful for that. But very, very sad for me. I'm an only child, and I was really close with my mom. I've been living with her the past 4 years, and looking back, I couldn't be more thankful that life worked out that way, because when I was 18, I moved to New York City and really spent most of my adult life out east, and I'd come home every Christmas, really, very infrequently that I would be in Minnesota. So I wasn't that close with any of my family during that time. I would talk with my mom often on the phone while I was out there, but really would see her maybe once a year. And then I kind of had some personal struggles in 2014 and decided to come to Minnesota temporarily when my apartment lease ran out. And I'm still here. So I ended up moving back for good. And I had moved in with my mom during that time and really never moved out because I really liked the living situation. We had a multi-generational house where me and her lived together, shared expenses, and I became, during the past few years, even closer to my mom, more so than any other time in my life. We would go on vacations together. I'd bring her to events. She was really my best friend here. And it's losing someone that close is something that I don't think I'll ever go through this any other time in my life. I don't think anyone can match how close I was to my mom, maybe a child, maybe a spouse, but really, there's no one else that I could ever be in a position of loss like this. And that is the experience that you go through when you lose someone that close is something you could never prepare for. I try and think how things could maybe be better, how I could prepare if I knew, and there's nothing you can really do. It's you do your best to stay okay, and that's what I have been doing, but it really helps with all the love and support that I have been feeling from everyone. Some of you may know my mom because she's been at the Blue State Ball the past few years, so maybe you got a chance to meet her there or something else we've done around here, but she's touched a lot of people, had an incredible influence on my life, and she will be remembered through not only the memories of things that she had done, but the influence that she has spread onto me to be a living example of her. So we will have a funeral and a kind of celebration next month that anyone is welcome to. In October, I'm working it out right now. It'll be October 26, I believe, a Saturday. We're going to have a concert and art show to show all of her pictures and have people from her life play or musicians that she liked, because our family's real musical. We own a music store here in the Twin Cities, Growth Music, that's been generation to generation. So we know a lot of musicians that were really close to my mom, and I'll be playing as well as having her photographs on display that will be for sale. So everyone's welcome to that. I'll have more details soon because I'm just working that out now, but that will be a good event because having a funeral be fun. It's difficult. That was something she always said, and so I've been kind of grappling with how do you do that. And I finally settled at two different events: one a church, more traditional, and then this kind of celebration of life. But I will be playing, and the photographs that will be on display will be of interest to listeners, because my mom was the Minnesota State Senate photographer for her career for a lot of her life, and she lost that job when Roger Moe ran for governor against Tim Pawlenty. And when Roger Moe lost, she was his campaign photographer, and had he won, would have been the governor's photographer. But Tim Pawlenty won and immediately cut the funding to Senate Media so my mom would lose her job. So very harsh reality there. So there'll be a lot of political photos on display, music photos, a lot of Twin Cities. So definitely come out, pick up a photo, and you're all welcome. We'll keep you in the loop over the next few weeks.
You've shown me some of your mom's photographs and artwork, and they are very cool.
Yeah, they
are. A lot of Jesse Ventura pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just posted one recently of her in Jesse's office, because that was really the kind of main time was that Jesse Ventura era that she was there. So an interesting time at the state capitol for sure. And that's really what got me aware of government and politics, was her working there. That was a huge influence on me, because she would bring me to work often, and I got to spend a lot of time down there at a pretty young age. So it rubbed off on me. She created this monster that we have today. So yes, it's good to be back here. It's good to be back in the chair, back in the saddle. I've been kind of easing in, and like I said, very difficult life situation. But we're going to talk about the news. Today is a very ceremonious day, kind of a tragic day. It's the 18th anniversary of September 11th. 18 years. That is pretty crazy to think about, that now people that were born after September 11th will potentially be legal adults and a voting age. So that is
you know what makes it real surreal is just, I used to tutor children a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just tutoring children who only knew about September 11th as like a historical event.
Yeah.
In my memory, it seems so fresh.
Yeah, I know. It definitely has most people know exactly what they were doing when they found out what happened. And remember that day, I do, pretty vividly compared to any other day of 2001.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever met a person who doesn't know where they were during September 11th.
I was at school, and I just remember how different it was and how, like, people didn't know how to react or handle the situation, like, because it was so out of the ordinary and no one knew the severity, what it meant, what was going on, but they knew that it was serious and dangerous. So that really stood out to me, was just kind of the unsureness of like teachers and staff at the school, and then how TVs were just every single channel was coverage.
Like, for like a month at least.
Yeah, no, but I remember that first day was even cable. Every single one was on coverage of what was going on. And that was scary because you're like, you didn't know how long this was going to last because attacks kept happening. And it's, you didn't know to what extent this was going to, like, what was going to transpire.
Mm-hmm. It was the first building, I remember they reported over the loudspeaker at my school. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, that's a weird accident to happen.
Yeah. And that was early on in, on September 11th that people were thinking that it was just potentially accidents. And that first, when the first tower hit, I remember having like hearing something about it. And then shortly after, when a second hit, there, it clearly was something that was no accident.
It's not a coincidence.
Yeah. So I just, yeah, that, that day really changed. Like, you can remember a pre-9/11 world and a post-9/11 world in America. It was no real event in my lifetime transformed our life, culture, laws like September 11th. And I was thinking about kind of airport security and the measures that they've taken, the new normal that we have for preventative measures, the like creation of TSA and all that was originally meant to be a temporary increase that has now become an indefinite increase in security and how we approach things. I know specifically like the liquid ban on air, taking liquids on airplanes, that was meant to be just a temporary kind of preventative measure that still today we can't bring on liquids like we could. You have to have those small little bottles, a lot of regulation on what's allowed. But that was never meant to be a permanent change. But how is it ever going to change back? It never could.
I don't think you can put this genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, it's that's the way things are now.
Look at the Patriot Act. Try taking any of those new rules away.
And it's really flying specifically. Before September 11th, it was so much more lax and easy. And nowadays, there is so much anxiety and really a feeling of you've got to prove your innocence to board the plane. So I know that I never like going through these things. I really don't like going through customs because I've had really terrible experiences with re-entering the country. And there's so much anxiety. It's hard to remember that things were different and could be different. They are the normal today. But yeah, as far as customs, actually, this is a good story. I ended up getting the full strip search. I was coming back from Spain, yeah, and I got through, kind of did the check, and they're asking me the standard questions they ask everyone, and they asked me one of who were you visiting, and I said, my friend Drew, and he goes, who are you with? I go, well, Drew and my other friend Alex. And he goes, how long have you known him? And I said, like 10 years. And then I said, well, actually, no, I've known Drew for 2 years and Alex for like 10, 15. And they go, step aside. That was all it took. Just me correcting myself to make it like, a more true statement set off enough red flags that I was there the next 3 hours and they went through everything I possessed and made me explain where I acquired it in life. So, and then I had to take my clothes off, and this was all over that small slip up. So, it wasn't even really a mistake. It was just adding clarity to it was enough to go through that ordeal. And since then, I've always been terrified of flying through, and anxiety just builds when I know those questions are coming because you don't want to make a mistake. So,
I think a lot of people have that. Dealing with any sort of authority figure,
mm-hmm.
It's like, well, yeah, I get nervous dealing with the police because if they see that I'm nervous, I could get in trouble.
Yeah, that's tough. That definitely does happen, and the police specifically are trained for that. If they sense nervousness, it's not enough to incriminate anyone or give them probable cause, but it's a note that they make, and it builds against you, but. How are you not going to be nervous, even if you're not doing anything wrong, like with past experiences like that? You don't want to be in a position where you have to prove your innocence. So you're going to be nervous naturally. So, yes, the world is transformed and there's no real going back, which is – it's hard for those who remember a time before. But now, like you mentioned, we have adults that are going to never have any experience before a pre-9/11 America. So that is just an interesting thing to think about. But let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about this as well, some things going on. We'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Give us a call at 952-946-6205. And note, we're playing some Peter Tosh as he died today back in 1979. So we'll be right back.
Hi, Matt McNeil inviting you to join AM 950 Radio on Thursday night as we host a Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come view the spectacle from Houston with like-minded progressives. We'll have bingo, great prizes, delicious appetizers from the Park Tavern as part of your admission, and drink specials too. Tickets are $15 and you can get them at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Doors open at 6:30, debate at 7 Thursday night. It's the AM 950 debate watching party at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. See you there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads, too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
AM 950, the aggressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes, Eric Nelson, here with your Miracle Laser de Muchachos. We're taking phone calls, 952-946-6205. And tomorrow, you have the chance to watch some Democrats debate each other with your friends here at AM 950. So join me and Eric, as well as everyone else, down at the Park Tavern tomorrow night. For the AM 950 debate watching party, we'll have tickets at Will Call, or just at the venue. You can buy them online, I believe, still today, but they'll also be available down there. So show up, Park Tavern. I've been outside of the Park Tavern, but I've never been there. So I'm excited to just have a evening at the Mark Tavern. But yeah, big debate. Down to a single night. The first debate with only one night and 10 candidates, as the past two have had 20 over two nights. So the field is narrowing. They upped the standards to be on the debate stage, and some kind of big names didn't make the cut. Kirsten Gillibrand wasn't able to make it, and she was really seen a few years ago as a rising star of the party, a big-name senator, a huge fundraiser, and her presidential campaign really went nowhere. She wasn't able to get any sort of traction with any kind of coalition. She made progressives angry. She made the establishment angry. She Her plan was to kind of be the Me Too presidential candidate, and it backfired on her. So she was out. But as well as Tulsi Gabbard, she has really had very strong fundraising numbers, but will not be at the debate. And that's really rose some suspicions of the DNC and how they qualify candidates. I do think it is not right that Tulsi is not on the stage, because it is clear that she does have relevant support and strong fundraising. She's one of the top performers of individual donations. So doesn't make sense to me to exclude her, but she didn't make the polling numbers. And Marianne Williamson will not be at this debate, and I'm bummed about that because she's my favorite. So field is narrowing, though. 10 candidates. And one of them tweeted out a kind of cryptic message. Andrew Yang says he has a big surprise that we will all see at the debate tomorrow. Calls it unprecedented as well. So Andrew Yang's got something up his sleeve.
He's going to debate nude.
Yeah.
There's no precedent for that.
That was always, you said, the libertarian debate. Or when we did the libertarian convention.
Oh, I guess convention. It isn't unprecedented. There is a precedent for debating nude.
We were hoping that that was what the libertarian convention was going to be like when we did an episode down there. But they were all clothed, those freedom-loving libs. Let's see. You can't call them libs. I don't know. What's short for libertarian?
I don't know if they go for being concise.
Bingo. All right, let's go to Brad in Robbinsdale. Brad, it's good to have you on.
Okay, well, yesterday I wasn't able to get contribute to my solutions program. I do have a short and a long-term solution. And this was a topic that Matt brought up yesterday as well, and it's about the budget deficits and, again, how they the Republicans are now trying to cut back on government services. And I'm sure people are familiar with Tom Hartman and his two Santa Claus theory, where, again, when the Republicans are in power, they, give tax cuts, to the rich and, to the country. And then when the Democrats are in power, they complain about the deficit and then use this as an excuse to pare back on government services and the social safety net. And also you had a caller yesterday, I believe it was Mark from Fridley, who talked about, again, just the that many corporations out there do not pay any taxes at all for, billions of dollars that they make. And so my short-term solution is for Steve Mnuchin to wipe that goofy grin off his face and take a flying leaf off a tall cliff. And my long-term solution
is to tax
the 1% and corporations their fair share for all the benefits that they receive in this country. Right now they're just a bunch of ingrates, and parasites living off, the middle class.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Brad. And that's really something that Democrats need to get across in this campaign, this 2020 election. I think Bernie does a good job of harping on it all the time, drawing attention to the mega wealthy and the loopholes that they have and how Amazon doesn't pay any federal taxes, Netflix, and all those companies, because that gets people angry. People know that that's not right. And if you put the blame where it should be on a lot of these problems, people will respond. You'll resonate. You'll hit, strike a nerve with people, because the general public knows something is wrong. They know that their lives are not where they should be, that just something, the problems in their life are attributed to something. So Donald Trump was able to get through to enough people with his tactics. So this is something that is a winning statement, issue, thing to draw attention to in this campaign. But for the debate tomorrow, we still have Joe Biden leading in polls, and kind of it's dropping, but he's still the clear front runner according to polls. Now it's really become a Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren as the 1, 2, 3 consistently. And the Joe Biden and his strong support is I wonder where that comes from, because just in my day-to-day life and observation, I don't see the overwhelming Joe Biden support. So I am wondering, is it a Minnesota thing? Is it where I live? Is it – what is it that he consistently performs well in these polls, but it doesn't translate to anything that I can observe?
I attribute it to three main causes. One, name recognition. Two, positive association with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And three, people thinking they're being pragmatic by saying Joe Biden has the best chance of winning because I've heard that repeated 100 times.
Mm. Yes, those are very good reasons. But have you met many people that are Joe Biden supporters?
I haven't met one.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I don't understand. And I just don't get why I don't observe it at all, where the numbers say one thing, but where is it in my day-to-day life? And what causes that? Because that all makes sense, but why don't I ever see an example of that?
I think it's just because it's primarily apolitical people with a very not much interest in politics at all.
But they're polling likely Democratic primary voters. So they're polling people that are kind of interested.
Well, they have the opinion to the extent that they don't like Trump.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, to be polling someone for that is going to typically mean that they have voted in past Democratic primaries, that they're registered Democrats, that they consistently vote. So,
yeah, but there's a lot of people who vote, especially in Minnesota, in every election. But on the day-to-day, they're not thinking about politics that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if it's that polling has really become obsolete with just the changes of landline phones, culture.
Oh, absolutely.
Is there even a way to accurately poll anymore?
They always say that they correct for those changes or different demographics, but I don't even see how it's possible to correct to that extent.
Yes. That is a suspicion of mine, is that kind of polls are just unusable at this point. Although they have been fairly accurate still the past few years, but I always have a suspicion that they aren't, that they're going to indicate the wrong things often these days. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. Where is Joe Biden's support? Do you know a lot of Joe Biden supporters? Give us a call. But we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. It's clearance time at Rudy Luther. The 2019s not only feature low clearance pricing, but most vehicles have huge factory rebates from Toyota as well. The Toyota Highlander is sensational with premium interior, room for up to 8, 5 USB ports, and a powerful design. Right now, get either $3,000 cash back or 0% financing for 60 months on the Highlander, but you need to go see them before they're all gone. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota today, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Robert Mueller and national security agencies warn that foreign governments will engage in massive election hacking in 2020, and the state's election systems are wide open. Mitch McConnell is blocking legislation that would secure our election systems. 25 to 30 nationwide protests are scheduled around the country on the Secure Our Vote Day of Action, September 17th. We need you to join us Tuesday, September 17th at noon in front of Senator Amy Klobuchar's office building. A representative from Senator Klobuchar's office and an expert on election system vulnerabilities will speak. Even though Minnesota's election system is relatively secure, no election system is unhackable, and other states are not prepared. Experts say we only have a few months to get these funds released in time for states to complete upgrades by the 2020 election. We must act now. So let's protest and send Moscow Mitch a message on Tuesday, September 17th at noon in front of Senator Klobuchar's office building. It's located at 1200 South Washington Avenue in Minneapolis to demand secure elections. More details at secureourvote.us.
The Center for Spirituality and Healing is offering mindfulness-based stress reduction, an 8-week course that will help you learn about the physiology and science of stress. You'll learn about taking control of your life, being aware of influences that affect your health and well-being, finding peace of mind, and returning to balance in a chaotic world. Discover how to consciously deal with stress, pain, illness, and the challenges of everyday life. Beginning September 19th, space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
Eat fresh and support local farmers by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. It's peak time at the farmers market. Lots of sweet corn, eggplants, fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meat and farmstead goods. Keep the summer bounty all year long because it's a great time to pickle and can. Look for the cucumbers, incredible deal, canning tomatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations, Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We got Peter Tosh. Bumper says Peter Tosh died in 1979 on September 11th. So rest in peace. But it's football season, and if there's one thing that kind of stands out every year during the Sunday Night Football and the player introductions is when they're saying their colleges, and people from Ohio State say the Ohio State University. It's always stood out to me. Well, today, federal regulators reject Ohio State University's bid to trademark use of the. So Ohio State University's request to formally add the to its name was rejected by federal regulators today. They filed for a trademark with the U.S. Patents and Trademark Office to add the three letters on its branded apparel.
Were they trying to block other schools from using the? The Minnesota. Soda State University or something like that?
That's what how I read it, is that they were trying to get an exclusive use of the, like the way that in the football mm-hmm. games and why that stands out, that they were trying to have a patent on that word. So clearly the is not a word that you can take for your own use. Good attempt. Nice try there, Ohio State.
Shooting for the stars.
It's a valuable word if you could get it. So they got shot down on that, though. Oh, yes. So, Eric, are you familiar with how Trump was trying to funnel money from the Pentagon budget to build the border wall?
Yeah.
So that kind of – people have been upset about that and what it means. But think about it for a moment.
Why not? It's a mixed blessing.
Yes. It's what he's doing is taking away money from the completely overbloated military budget and putting it towards building some – haphazard wall. So we're talking about just putting up some pieces of some border wall that are not going to do anything. Yeah, it's a waste. But is it a waste that is better spent? Isn't it a good for the entire world if we're not spending the ridiculous amount of money on our military budget? I see it as, like Eric said, a mixed blessing. So maybe reframe how you're approaching this and the outrage in the action, because it might not be that bad a move. Let's go to Mark and Fridley. Mark, I bet you have a lot to say on this day.
Well, I have a lot to say every day, bud. But first, thanks for introducing me to your mom at the last Blue State Ball, and she was a snappy dresser, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know. I had been planning on that. I was like, you two have got to meet. I was thinking of that for weeks leading up to it.
Sure. And, you know, sorry for your loss, but, you know, these meat suits that were walking around are basically just a car, so she's in a better place. What you're talking about is, and had been talking about, was a thing called confirmation bias. And the thing about confirmation bias is that it doesn't have to be true. It just has to conform to what you want to believe. And here we are sitting on the 18th anniversary of 9/11. And if anybody hasn't connected the dots between the firing of John Bolton the day before 9/11, I guess firing him on 9/11 would be too obvious. Because Trump said today in the Oval Office during a presser on vaping and e-cigarettes, the question came to John Bolton. And he said that John Bolton was responsible for the Iraq War, which was a very interesting to say. He said, Bolton is very tough. He got us into the Iraq War. So if you remember, it was in June or July where Trump was driving around with George Stephanopoulos, and he said that on national television, Iraq didn't knock down the World Trade Center. And this is a quote. He said, Iraq didn't knock down the World Trade Center. It were other people. And that was his words. It were other people. And I think I know the other people were. And you might also. And what you're going to hear a lot of people talking about patriotism and honor and credibility and, you know, getting to the truth. But what you're not going to hear about is that there is a massive lawsuit of victims of the 9/11 attacks, incorporating the role of Saudi Arabia in what happened on 9/11. And we're not talking about that. And what it is was in 2016, the U.S. Congress filed or introduced legislation and created the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, or JASTA, in 2016. Now, when it was passed bipartisan, this was President Obama's first veto, and it went back to the Congress for a vote, and they got enough votes to override the veto. So in 2016, we made it legal for victims of terrorism worldwide to go after who were the state sponsors. Now, that case is active in federal court right now. And what's interesting is that there are implications of the guy who was the FBI director at the time of 9/11, and his name was Robert Mueller. And this lawsuit has deposed and taken the voluntary testimony of a significant number of former FBI special agents and investigators, as well as the victims. And this is what I mean about confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is a safety mechanism that, you know, allows people to avoid uncomfortable truths. And when we're talking about national security whistleblowers, we're talking about people that risk everything to tell the truth. And so who would you rather trust, somebody with everything to lose by telling the truth, or somebody that has everything to gain by lying? And I just want to give people on 9/11, because, you know, this is the memorial or commemorative date, but some of the quotes from the victims, a woman, her name was Sharon Primoli, who pulled herself out of the rubble of the World Trade Center suing Saudi Arabia, said, in describing Robert Mueller, he was the master when it came to covering up the kingdom's role in 9/11. You've got a former special agent of the FBI, Mark Rossini, and he said any letting off the Saudis off the hook came out of the White House. You've got a guy named Stephen Moore, who led a 9/11 task force, and he said that diplomatic and intelligence personnel of Saudi Arabia knowingly provided material support to the two hijackers and facilitated the 9/11 plot. Now, none of this was made public in the 9/11 Commission report. Another FBI agent, Raymond Fournier, who was an agent with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, said that he was prevented from pursuing cases and following evidence and following leads, specifically when it came to a guy that they had in a corner named Anwar el-Awlaki. And the FBI, under the orders of Bob Mueller, closed the investigation of Awlaki, who was allowed to leave the U.S. on a Saudi plane. Shortly after that happened, we had the Fort Hood shooting incident, which I think, boy, I'm thinking 40 people were shot in that one.
And Mark, we're running up against a break, so if you want to wrap
sure,
up.
But So if we're really going to honor the memory of the victims, of the first responders, of the victims that have been died or suffered trauma as a result of these illegal, unnecessary wars, we have to tell the truth. That's it. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much for the call. And that was a really appropriate call for today. But actually, Eric, let's play Ted Cruz's thoughts on 9/11.
I actually intellectually find this very curious, but on 9/11, I didn't like how rock music responded. And country music collectively, the way they responded, it resonated with me. And I have to say, it just as a gut level, I had an emotional reaction that says, these are my people. And so ever since 2001, I listened to country music. But I'm an odd country music fan because I didn't listen to it prior to 2000.
Ain't no talking to this man. Ain't no pretty other side. Ain't no way to understand stupid words of pride.
Get guaranteed appliance savings from Minnesota's own Warner Stellion. Unbeatable appliance prices on more brands. Plus, Warner Stellion customers save more with trusted, fast, free delivery, professional installation, and free haul away through September 11th, exclusively from Minnesota's own Warner Stellion.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Our climate is in crisis, and it's time we talk about what we can do for our future. So let's talk about solutions at the 55th Annual Nobel Conference, Climate Change, Facing Our Future. It takes place September 24th and 25th at Gustavus Adolphus College. Seven leading thinkers address climate change, inviting you to consider what tools are available, what research efforts do we require, and what kind of people do we need to be to conceptualize and address global climate challenges. You are invited to consider how the changes to the Earth's climate system are vast, without precedent, and of such magnitude and scale as to potentially alter life itself. There will be over 4,000 people on campus for the Nobel Conference discussing these issues. You're invited to attend one or both days to experience the presentations and Q&A. There's even a live stream you can watch. So let's talk about causes and consequences of climate change and our responses to the challenges it presents to us as individuals and as a society at the Nobel Conference. Again, it takes place September 24th and 25th at Gustavus Adolphus College. Full schedule and tickets at gustavus.edu/Nobel Conference.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Parade of Homes.
The Parade of Homes is going on now. Find the home that fits and discover the latest designs, styles, and trends. Pick up your free guidebook at Holiday and visit paradeofhomes.org to plan your tour. The Parade of Homes, sponsored by U.S. Bank.
AM 950, Chris Boyce, Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Eric Nelson, here for your Miracle Days with the Muchachos. Got some Peter Tosh music as he died on this day. September 11th, big day. Tragic day. Though, Eric, Mark mentioned this. Trump and the administration moved today to ban flavored e-cigarette. I don't know, juices, whatever you want to call it. The flavored vaping specifically the flavor. So there will be the
it'll just be like non-flavored plain.
Yeah, the new car scent is still there, but the watermelon and Mountain Dew flavors are being banned, and the reaction to vaping this has been completely overblown and is unhelpful. This has suddenly became a crisis, and the media has created a hysteria, and it's very foolish what they're doing because
it's completely misdirected.
Absolutely.
Because the issue is just that there's no safety protocol in place for the quality of these nicotine juices.
Bingo. And so what they're doing now is by banning outright these things and creating kind of the idea that they're more harmful than regular cigarettes is you are stopping the use of something that is actually proven much better for you than typical cigarette tobacco. So
you have what, like 3 deaths over the course of maybe 6 months. How many people died from cigarettes in the course of those 6 months?
Absolutely. And yeah, to put context, the amount of people who have been hospitalized total from e-cigarettes is less than the amount of people who die from opiates every day. So this is a complete overreaction, what's going on. And you are precisely right that the problem is the unregulated nature of the industry, and that's what should be looked into, not the outright banning of this.
This is pure conjecture, but I have a good feeling that if you looked into the money for what sort of think tanks are pushing this, it's going to be Philip Morris, companies with the large investments in tobacco.
So, and Juul is now which is owned by one of those big tobacco companies, is more profitable than Delta Airlines, than Target Corporation, than a ton of these huge companies that we think of as successful. And their main flavor is plain. So you are absolutely right on this. The whole thing is an overblown hysteria that's going on, and it's very frustrating to watch when even the little bit that I know is enough to see through it all, and just seeing the damage that they're doing by broadcasting this message and then having the president act on his impulsive nature that he always does. God, he just really is a whim. Like, nothing's thought out. There's a reaction to what's on TV, and that's how he makes a decision. It's just been this entire time he's been president.
Yeah, in my opinion, he's bad.
Yeah, he's bad. All right, that's all for today. Thanks for being with us on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. You think you're
gonna get around it? While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of 3 American Indian women